has to discourage us and dissuade us and to get us to doubt and to despair. I've been fighting a fight myself. This week has been rough. Actually, the last few weeks have been rough, and my wife and I have had to battle, and definitely we can feel the fatigue of war. Hallelujah. But the Lord truly is my strength, and as we were worshiping and praising God, I could feel my help coming. Praise God. Because my help cometh from the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 8, we'll read from verses 19 through 22, where it says, "Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me." This is the verse I want to focus on. Verse 22. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" I'm going to read verse 22 again. "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of my daughter of my people recovered?" I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, "The Balm of Gilead." Talked about the balm of Gilead, and the Lord is already working in our midst, and I'm just going to pray that the Lord would continue and that he would use me to bless someone today with his word. Thank you, Jesus, and thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. I know I said this the last time I preached, but I thank God for the word. When everything else is singing sand, we can depend upon the word. And I want us just to praise God for a minute, just because God's about to speak. And when God speaks, the matter is settled. When God has spoken on the matter, that's it. There's no more debate or dispute. Hallelujah. God's word is about to be settled in us today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God, that your word is true. That your promises are both in you, yea and amen. And that even though the enemy has tried to thwart your will from being accomplished today, that he will not succeed. And that the word of God will go forward and the church of the living God will move on to be victorious. For your word says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And because our faith is not in man, and because our faith is not in our car or in our education or in our occupation, but our faith is in you, we shall and we have overcome the world. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the spirit of the overcomer, the shout of triumph and victory, would arise in our hearts, because your word is about to go forth. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory and the honor. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. There are some questions I want to address with this message in relation to the balm of Gilead. Number one, what is a balm and what is its function? Number two, what was the process or procedure of obtaining this balm? And thirdly, what is Gilead? What is the significance of Gilead? Those are three questions I want to answer in this message. Firstly, what is balm and what is its function? Balm was a medicine, or should I say, it is a medicine or a salve. It's a general name for an oily or resinous substance used for the curing and healing of wounds in particular. If you were injured, you had some sort of wound, some open wound that was not injured and that there was infection setting in, you would put a balm on that wound, and that balm would heal the wound that was there. It would prevent infection from setting in the wound, and it would cause healing to transpire. Now, what exactly was the process or the procedure of obtaining this balm? Balm comes from the Hebrew word tesori or tesiri, which is used from an unused root meaning to crack as by pressure, hence to leak. The oil or the resin or gummy substance was obtained by making an incision or wound through the bark of a particular type of tree, which would cause it to flow and to trickle out of it. So balm was very, very precious, particularly in the nation of Israel. Of course, in the text in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, balm was used for the curing of wounds, various wounds that occurred in battle or diseases that had set in. And the only way that you could get this this bomb was that you had to find a particular type of tree and you had to make an incision, or you had to wound the tree itself. And when that incision was made through the bark that penetrated the outer surface, this oily resin or this gummy substance would begin to leak out of it. And that was the bomb that was used in order to cure the wound or the disease that you had or the injury that you had. Jesus, in symbolically, is our bomb, which heals our wounds physically from disease or injury, and spiritually from the wounds and the disease of sin. We see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed." Now again, the bomb was obtained by wounding a tree, by making an incision or a wound on the tree, and that which was secreted from the tree was the balm that would cause healing. Jesus Christ was tied to a tree called a whipping post, and they lashed him and they beat him, and from that which was secreted from his wounds was the healing substance that we need for all of our physical diseases. The Bible then says that Jesus Christ was hung from a tree, and the wounds that were inflicted at the cross was for the healing of our spirit from the disease of sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 4 that surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus is the balm in Gilead, in that he was wounded that our sins could be removed. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes that we are healed. Jesus' blood is the balm that heals all wounds, whether it be spiritual or whether it be physical. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, the word for griefs is the Hebrew word koli, which means sickness and disease. That Jesus Christ literally bore our sicknesses and our disease. Where it says that he carried our sorrows, the word there in the Hebrew is makabah, which means physical or mental pain. Whatever pain or sickness or disease you may have, whether it be mental, psychological, whether it be spiritual, the Bible said that Jesus Christ bore upon himself our sicknesses and our diseases, and he bore upon himself our sins and our iniquities and our wickedness and our mistakes and our tragedy. Jesus truly is the balm that heals all disease. He was wounded so that we would not have to be wounded. The only way that our wounds could be healed was by him being wounded, and that which came out of him, his blood and water, came forth and healed all of our sicknesses and diseases. John chapter 19 verse 1 talks about this wounding. In John 19 1 it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." And that word there for scourged is the Greek word mastigo, meaning that he was whipped repeatedly without measure. That in the Jewish tradition it was 39 lashes. But in the Roman tradition it was as many as the Roman officer would allow. And the Bible said that he was scourged, that he was whipped, that a Roman whipping, a Roman crucifixion was so brutal that in this, in particular with Christ, that he was beaten to such a degree that the Bible said that you could even barely recognize him as being human. He was just a bloody mass of flesh and sinew and bone that was exposed as they whipped him and they beat him. Now, I want you to understand this about this whipping and this scourging. Jesus went through this for the healing of your diseases. If you are sick and in the sound of my voice, this is for you. If you are sin-ridden, this is also for you. But I'm going to deal with the physical disease before I get to the spiritual. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. I'm sure you've all heard this story. The woman with the issue of blood. In Mark 5, verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Underline plague. The Greek word there for plague is the Greek word mastix. It's the root word for the word that we find mastigo when Jesus was whipped. It literally means, the word plague means a whip or to be scourged. The same word that describes Jesus Christ being whipped for our healing was the same word that would describe this woman's sickness and disease. She was being whipped and being scourged. And when Jesus came, he came and took her place, which is why that when she touched him, she took upon him, he took upon himself her sicknesses and her diseases. Now, here's the thing. Since the disease that this woman had was described as a whip or an instrument of scourging or torment, who was the one doing the whipping? We find the answer in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Satan was the one doing the whipping and doing the scourging. And Jesus, being our substitute, took our place, and he was wounded on our behalf. He was wounded. He was scourged on our behalf. The sickness and the disease that this woman was dealing with was that of being whipped and being scourged by a Roman centurion. And Jesus substituted himself as the balm to heal her of the wounds that she was going through. We see also in Luke 7, verse 20, where it says, when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues. That word plagues is the word mastix. The same word described Jesus being whipped and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid in sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias or Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I want you to understand today, if the devil has been whipping you all week with sickness and disease, if he's been whipping you all week with grief and with sorrow and mental anguish, with depression and despair, with disenfranchisement, with all sorts of hurts and pain and anguish, Jesus said, I have traded places with you. I was whipped so you don't have to be whipped. I took upon the scourging that the enemy was trying to do to you, but instead I took it for you. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be in mental anguish anymore. You don't have to be depressed or discouraged anymore, because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes that we are healed. Now, the balm for healing was obtained for a special type of tree. But where were the trees located that was used to make this balm? They were found in Gilead. Gilead was the main place where you would find these special type of trees that would secrete this balm that was used to healing all types of wounds and diseases. In Genesis 37, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water that was in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites, which came from Gilead, and with their camels bearing spicery and balm. Talking about how balm was the main source where they got, Gilead was the main source where they got balm. So they had balm and myrrh going to carry it down to Egypt. That balm was used to heal all sorts of wounds, and if you wanted to get the balm, you had to go to Gilead. Now, what exactly is the significance of Gilead? Why did Gilead always have these trees that had the balm or had the substance to heal the wounds and the diseases? The word Gilead means hill of testimony, heap or mass of testimony. Gilead was a mountainous hilly region where these trees grew on, and it literally meant a hill or a mass, a large mass of testimony, a heap of testimony. And what we discover is that the tree that has the balm that we need to be saved also grew on a hill. We find in Luke 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and on the other the left. Calvary was a hill. It was also called Golgotha, which was kind of in the shape of a rounded skull. There was a tree that was put on that hill, and Jesus was hung on that tree. And from that tree, from that spot, from that hill, comes all healing for all diseases and all mental anguish and all sin. The place where you find the balm to heal our souls of sin and shame is found at the hill. The true balm in Gilead is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So now this, let's put it all together. Gilead, which means hill or mass of testimony, symbolizes the place where we find healing. Healing is found in the testimony of the Lord, or the account that God has spoken. The testimony of the Lord is his word, which says that we are healed of sicknesses and we are forgiven of sins. If you want to find where healing is, then you must go to Gilead, the hill of testimony. And the word of God is the testimony. It is the witness that says that you are healed, that you are forgiven of your sins, should you repent of them and turn away from them. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says that, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. The reason why people will not get healed, or the reason why people are still in mental anguish, the reason why people are still in sin, because they refuse to go to the hill, to go to the testimony of the Lord. They don't want to go there. I don't want to go to Gilead to get my balm. I can get it someplace else. No, you can't get it someplace else. You can't find this healing someplace else. Walgreens doesn't carry it, neither does CVS. No one else carries this type of balm that you need that will fix your marriage, that will fix your sin-infested soul, that will fix your life, fix your children, fix your finances. You can only find it in Gilead. You can only find it in Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want healing, if you want deliverance, then you've got to go to the testimony of the Lord. You must go to the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God is God's account of how life ought to be. We want to listen to the testimony of everyone else around us. We want to bear the witness of everyone else that's around us, that says that you'll still remain in your sickness, that says that you'll still remain in your situation, that says that there is no hope, that says there is no victory, that says there is no deliverance. But there is another witness I want to call to the stand that wants to set the case straight, and his name is the word of the living God. And what God has said, what God has testified, let every man be a liar and let God be true. As it says in Psalm 119 verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There is no dispute over the integrity or the immutability of God's word. That God said, I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If the word of God worked in the Old Testament for Moses, if it worked for David fighting Goliath, if it worked for whoever you want to name or mention, then it ought to work today. God's word is not weakened. His promises are not slack, as some men count slackness. His word is not weakened. His word is able and capable to do whatever we need. Psalm 33:9 says, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said and shall he not do it? Or hath he not spoken and shall he not make it good? What you need to do to get out of your situation is you need to get a testimony, and the testimony you need is the account written in the word of God. No, I will not accept the account of what the president says. No, I won't accept the account of what the stock market says. No, I won't accept the account of what my friends say, but I believe what God has said in his word, what God has said in Psalm Psalm 56 verse 4 says, in God will I praise his word. In him will I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Quit listening to the lackeys and the flunkies that are around you and start getting a testimony from God. If you want healing, then you've got to get the balm of Gilead. And the only way you can get the balm is to go to Gilead. You've got to go to the word. You've got to go to his word. 1 John 5 verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever things we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. John 15, 7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Mark 11, verse 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You just need a testimony from God to get you off the hook. I need a witness to get me out of this jam. The charges have been laid against me. The accuser of the brethren says I'm unrighteous. The accuser of the brethren says I should go to hell. But the witness of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord says not guilty. The testimony of the Lord says forgiven. The testimony of the Lord says righteous. The testimony of the Lord says restored. The testimony of the Lord says rejuvenated, revived, renewed in Jesus' name. Somebody need to get a testimony from God. It's your testimony that the devil is after. Because if the testimony gets out, people will know that he's a liar. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You've got to get a testimony from God. You've got to subpoena his word and bring it out of your spirit and start declaring it to the enemy, to the false charges that have been laid against you that say that there is no hope, that there is no balm in Gilead. Yes, there is a balm in Gilead. Yes, there is healing in Jesus' name. Yes, his word still works. And yes, he can still save to the utmost, to the lowest valley, to the highest mountain, to the farthest alley. It does not matter. God's blood still works. You've got to rely on his testimony. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We've got to have a testimony that comes from God. But the fact of the matter is that people do not want to go to the Word of God. They don't want to go all the way to Gilead to get the balm. They want to use shortcuts and use substitutes and use a generic brand, so to speak, if you want. You ever gone to the store and got the generic brand and just didn't taste quite the same? It didn't quite do what you wanted it to do? You know, or you have some people that try to get some Jordans, they got some Air Gordons instead? Come on now, y'all rock the Air Gordons, come on. There's nothing like the real thing. There is nothing that can be compared to a genuine article. And the only way you're going to ever experience true peace in your heart, the only way you're going to ever experience victory from sin, deliverance from sin, is when you experience the balm that's in Gilead. Now I want to go back to my scripture text, Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to go to look at verse 8. We're going to jump back a few verses. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. Now, the thing is, the children of Israel in this context had become wounded and infected with the disease of idolatry. Israel was worshiping all sorts of false idols and graven images, and they'd become infested with this sin of idolatry, and that's what we're finding here in our context. Jeremiah 8, verse 8. How do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone that from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Israel was sick with sin. And the sad thing is, some of the prophets and priests were telling them that their condition was normal and was to be accepted by saying peace, saying that even though you're living in sin and you're living in idolatry, that there will be no consequences or judgment for your sin. And so they started speaking peace, peace. And so the individuals became even more placated by the fact that they were in sinful and moral depravity. They thought that their situation was normal and was to be accepted, that their disease, their malady, their disability was something that was normal, something to be accepted, because the men of God that were, or the supposed men of God, were telling them that everything was okay. That in the similar sense, we have false teachers and preachers that tell you that your sin or your sickness is to be acceptable or endured. 2 Peter 2 verse 1 says, but there was false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We have preachers and teachers saying that sin is okay, that sin is not okay, that certain lifestyles are acceptable before God, that you can get away with it, or it's okay to live in this condition. In the same sense, they even will say that your sickness is okay, that you're supposed to suffer for, but even though the word of God says that Christ already suffered with the sickness and disease so that you don't have to. They placate our senses. They desensitize our outrage and our self-righteous indignation against the things that the enemy is sowing against us. But we need to get inside of our spirit and outrage to say that this is unacceptable. My condition is unacceptable. This disease I'm carrying is unacceptable. Jesus paid too much for me to be sick. Jesus bled too much for me to remain in sin and to remain living an ungodly lifestyle. I need to change my life. We've got to get an outrage about these things and get back to the truth of the word of God. We see now in verse 12, Jeremiah 8:12. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. That today sin is so celebrated that it's broadcast on the airwaves, it's broadcast on Netflix, and people applaud it, people seek after it, people download it, people search for it, that we even have parades celebrating abominations and sin and wickedness. There are pride movements dedicated to boasting about how much great sinners that people are. People feel no shame for their sin. They feel that their condition is normal, to be accepted, to be applauded, to be esteemed and aspired to, when the word of God says different, because they are so sick that even their very consciousness has been corrupted and perverted by their sinful condition. And that's why we need the balm of the word of God to be applied to expose the activities of the enemy and to show that no, you need to turn from sin. No, you need to, yes, you need to stop from living that lifestyle. Yes, you need to reject a certain relationships and get away from certain folk that are pulling you into sin. Yes, you need to put the reefer down. Yes, you need to put the bottle down. Put the pills down. Put it all down. Put the remote down. Put the laptop down, because you're watching things that you shouldn't watch. You're doing things that you shouldn't do. Then you're being corrupted with sin. And if you don't get rid of that disease, it's going to kill you. Now, when the disease of idolatry finally incurs bondage and judgment, the people are in anguish and confusion. They say, isn't God on our side? They suddenly become confused. Why did this happen? You know, I thought we were good people. We were godly people. Jeremiah 8 verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Saying like, the seasons have gone by and we're still in bondage. The Babylonians that came from the north, to take away Judah, which is talking about. That the Babylonians came in and they captured Judah and put them in bondage and slavery, and they were crying out, how come we haven't been rescued yet? They thought that maybe God would send some other deliverance or something like that. It goes on to say in verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. This is Jeremiah speaking. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now, this is just a phrase. Like, look, Gilead is notorious. It is famous for having balms to heal all sorts of wounds. And Jeremiah is basically raising the question, how can the people be so infested with sin when there is a remedy or a cure for their disease nearby? They could get healed of the disease of idolatry if they just turn to God and just give it up. God is right there. The prophets are there. The word of God is there. But instead of turning to the remedy, they continue to revel in their condition. And the reason why they do this is because people have refused to acknowledge the cure, or they reject the process by which they can be healed. People are not going to hell because God has sent them to hell. People are going to hell because they've rejected the only thing that can save them from going there. If anyone's going, it's because they either chose to do so, or perhaps they didn't know any better. More so, they chose to reject the remedy. They're drowning in the ocean. God sends them a life preserver, and they reject it. And because of that, they drown. It's not because that God wants everyone to suffer or burn in a lake of fire. It's that people reject the remedy, or the only means by which people can be rescued from that lake of fire. And so the fact of the matter is that the people of Judah, they fell into bondage not because God did not have a remedy, not that God did not have an answer, but because they refused to acknowledge that answer. We see in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In the same sense, people today reject the true balm of Gilead. Jesus Christ, who can heal them from of their sin or their sickness, they reject that, and they go to another source. They go to some other source to deal with their malady or to deal with their issue, even though Jesus Christ is the true balm in Gilead. You do not have to remain in sin. You do not have to remain in bondage to the enemy. Jesus, as I said before, took places with us to be scourged and to be whipped for our healing of our diseases. He took our place on that tree on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could be changed. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who what? "Who forgiveth all my iniquities. Who healeth all," not some, "all my diseases." All. All we need to do is just apply the balm of Gilead. Your victory, your deliverance is just as soon or just as near as you just taking the word of God and applying it to the wounds of your heart. Whatever wounds are in your heart, Jesus, the balm of Gilead, is here to heal it. He is here to mend it. He's here to, but again, the charge against the people of Judah is that they refused to change. How stubborn are we? That even that there's a hill of testimony. There's a massive testimony we call Gilead, or we call Calvary, that says, hey, I have the answer. I have the answer for whatever it is that you're going through, whatever pain you're dealing with. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the solution. But we ignore this amazing hill or mass of testimony, this amazing large body of evidence that shows that we can get out, that we can be delivered, that we can be saved from our sin, and we remain still in bondage. Let it not be said, let us not ask the question, is there a balm in Gilead? There is a balm in Gilead. Is there healing in Jesus Christ? There is healing in Jesus Christ. Is there forgiveness from sin? There is forgiveness of sin. Maybe the reason why you don't want to go to the balm of Gilead is because that you're ashamed. Your disease is so offensive and so repulsive or so horrendous, spiritually or physically, that you dare not mention it to anyone for fear of judgment, for fear of rejection. And now that's ridiculous. We wouldn't do that for the most part if we had a sickness, right? We'd say, okay, man, I'm sick, so I'm going to try and get better. Then I can go to the hospital so the doctor can take care of me. I don't want to see this nasty disease I have. I want to be sure I can keep a good front, so I'm going to try and deal with my disease first, and then I'll go see the doctor. That makes no sense. You don't get well so you can go see the doctor, look good enough to go see the doctor. You go to the doctor to get well. And in the same sense, you don't try and get righteous and get holy to come to church so you can look good and let people smile and wave at you and make you feel good. But you come to church to get well. You come to Jesus to get well. And the reason why that your disease has failed, you're just like the woman with the issue of blood. You've gotten to physician after physician, and your issue has gotten worse as opposed to getting better. But it wasn't until that she found the real balm of Gilead, when she touched the hem of his garment, and that power, that virtue was released from his frame into her body, that she was cured of her plague, of her scourging, of her whipping. The devil's been whipping you with condemnation. He's been whipping you with judgment. He's been whipping you with failure, with mistakes, and with sin. He's been whipping you with sickness and disease. He's been whipping you with anxiety and depression. He's been whipping you with confusion and lack of peace. Whipping and whipping and whipping, when God has already said, hey, I already came down as Jesus Christ to take the whipping for you. Let's stand. I'm done. The balm of Gilead is here. And all you have to do is go to Gilead. Go to the hill of testimony. Go to the mountain. Go look at Calvary. Because it was at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Let the words of that hymn register in your spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. I'm going to say it again. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad, as the song says. You can come to Jesus just as you are, but I guarantee you won't leave the same way when you apply the balm that's in Gilead. This wound has become infested. It's starting to fester, and it's become just infected. It's getting gangrene. It smells nasty. It's disgusting. You've been carrying this wound, this issue in you for so long, and Jesus is saying, just apply the balm. My blood is able to redeem you and save you from any sin. My blood is able to cure any sickness or disease. You just need to apply the balm that's in Gilead. And when the balm of Gilead is applied, your wounds will be healed. Thank you, Jesus. My children have been sick this week, fighting some sort of cold virus. And it was earlier this week, I was laying in the bedroom with my children. And my daughter had a runny nose, and she couldn't breathe, and she kept waking up, was just coughing. And my other daughter, Caitlin, she was also sick and was coughing. And I was laying in bed. This sickness had been going on. Several other people contracted it. And as I was laying in bed, I saw the spirit of infirmity. I had a dream, and in the dream, the spirit manifested itself. It came to me and was trying to attack my children. And in the dream, I rebuked it, and I commanded it to leave, to go in Jesus' name. And I woke up in a start, and I said, I've got to fight this thing. I got to fight this thing. And so I began to pray in the spirit. And then the verse that I've already quoted came to me again. Isaiah 53:4. I want to put this on the screen. I started saying, surely, means that there's no debate, no dispute. No argument. It is a settled fact. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Thank you, Jesus. And carried our sorrows. Really think about the words of this verse. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And when I said that verse, I saw a vision. And I saw the image of Christ being tied to that whipping post. And I saw the cat of nine tails. A cat of nine tails was a whip that had nine straps on it, that had barbed wire and metal and bones and glass in the straps. And so that when it was struck, those bones and glass and pieces of metal would impale the victim, would grab chunks of muscle and flesh. And when the whipper, the person that was giving the whip, would pull, it would grab whole chunks of flesh and rip it out of the person's body. And I saw that cat of nine tails coming down and striking my Savior's back. And as I saw that whip hit his back, it went. The verse 5 popped in my head. But he was wounded. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And when I got to, and with his stripes, my God, when I got to and said the words, and with his stripes, we are healed. The Holy Ghost erupted out of me in such a way that I could not sit still. I was sitting in a chair and began shaking under the power of God. My wife can testify. She woke up and saw me shaking uncontrollably as the words of that verse hit my spirit, that by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes, with his stripes, we are healed. I saw the blood streaming down his back as the flesh was ripped from him, and realized that I don't have to be sick. My children don't have to be sick. I don't have to remain in sin, because he bore it for me. I saw the lashes. I saw the Roman soldiers laughing as they beat him and mercilessly. And I tell you today that with his stripes, you can be healed. You can be healed. You can be healed of your sickness and disease. You can be healed of your sin. If you would just believe and apply the balm of Gilead. Jesus has paid too much for you to remain in your condition. I know I'm belaboring the point, but I really want you to get this. Do you understand what God did for you? What he paid for you? Every lash that was put in his back was for our healing. Every nail that was put into those hands was for my sin. Not just the sin of the people that were living at that time. My sin. It was my sin that put him on that cross. Make it personal and realize and believe by faith that the balm of Gilead can heal. Why don't we do that right now? Surely he hath borne our griefs. My God.